You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. This episode comes from the earlier version of the podcast, known as the ETT Rap Show. Enjoy!
What's going on, everybody? As Shannon mentioned in the intro, we're giving you a throwback episode this week. We're reaching back in the ETT Rap Show vault and bringing you an episode where we talk about several pertinent health and fitness topics, especially where we recap our Elemental Training Tampa's first team competition, which is really apropos because we recently registered for our next team competition. ETT will be running together as a team at the Gasparilla 5K come February 25th. So if you live in the Tampa Bay area and you want to join our team, you are more than welcome to. All you have to do is when you register, you go to the Choose Team option, scroll down, look for Elemental Training Tampa, join our team. It's free to join, and I'm looking to possibly anybody who participates and joins the ETT team will receive our 2017 workout shirt with a brand new design. So if you want to come and join our community, you're more than welcome to. So also, we want to welcome any new listeners to the podcast. We really appreciate you guys finding us, and we really appreciate all those old listeners sharing and giving us rating reviews in iTunes. Those rating reviews are very important to us, and if you have a second, please go to the iTunes store and give us a rating review. We really, really appreciate it. All right, enough of me talking. Let's get to this throwback episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back to the ETT Rap Show. I'm your host, Nick Birch, and sitting next to me is my wife, Shannon Birch.
Hello.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning here in the Birch household. Just got back from walking to our local coffee shop, Blind Tiger Coffee. Got myself a nice little coffee drink this morning, and Shannon's here relaxing with her peppermint tea.
Yep.
You know, we're trying to relax. We kind of had a busy and relaxing day, or lazy day yesterday. It was kind of a combination of both.
Yes, it was. It was a kind of unplanned, lazy afternoon, but a very busy morning.
Yeah, we packed most of the busy stuff into the morning. Before we get into that, I want to compliment all the ETT clients for their training sessions this week. Everybody really did well. We're kind of getting into the dog days of summer here in the Tampa area.
It just started, like, the last week.
Yeah, really. Literally this week, it really... I mean, the thing is, it's usually hot, obviously, over 90, which isn't bad. But when the humidity comes, too, I don't want to give you guys too much weather talk, but it gets pretty brutal here in the area. So everybody had great sessions this week, and it seems about everyone is back to their normal routine, which is awesome. I was really happy. I had one client actually celebrated her birthday with an ETT training session.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes. So I was really happy about that. You know, some people can, I wouldn't say call it an excuse. I mean, it's kind of a good, you know, you said, hey, I got plans for my birthday. We're going out. I can't make the session. You know, it's obviously I understand that, but you know, I like it even with some kind of gives me a little bit of, you know, it makes me happy. I don't know about happy, but, you know, kind of proud when they still want to work out even though it's their birthday.
Yeah, that's a great little accomplishment. Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Those clients, they're a great kind of family unit. You know, they're partners that work out together. They had family there during the workout getting ready for them because they had a nice birthday cake waiting for her after her.
So it was basically she was working out so that she knew she could go get some of that cake after.
Exactly. That's
much... actually a pretty good... Yeah. I think method.
Yeah, yeah. That's I had no problems with it. So, happy birthday to her! And think once again, all the clients did awesome this week, and we're looking forward toward another week of training and everything like that. Keep going, keep on keeping on. But as we were mentioning, right as we started the show, we had a busy morning yesterday.
That included some great accomplishments of some of your clients.
Yes, yeah, it wasn't just me or Shannon and I. We went to the ETT had their first competition, like kind of group competition. We did the Mud Endeavor Mud Run out in Brooksville, Florida. We basically, if you guys aren't familiar with mud runs, it's kind of like this one distance was 5K, so about a little over 3 miles, but there's obstacles involved. So it's like an obstacle course race. So this one, it was the first time I did this one. I haven't done an obstacle course race since Tough Mudder in 2013, I believe. So it's been almost 3 years or 14.
Really?
Or
I thought 14. It was 14.
Okay, it could have been 14. Sorry, I lied.
I didn't do it. I just went and
yes. Took one pictures. Of those. So it's been a few years regardless. And but as you know, I got this course, I think I mentioned it on the podcast a couple times. This race was recommended by one of our clients, one of the ETT clients, and he said it's great, you know, it's a lot of they had a lot of obstacles and stuff like, and it's not a too far distance. You know, Tough Mudder is between 12 and 13 miles. And you have a lot of distance between obstacles. And if you don't go in like one of the first waves, you got to wait at obstacles, which I wasn't a huge fan of. But this one was great. You know, obstacles really kind of, they put them right one right after another. So they were really fun. Like I said, this was our first group kind of ETT group competition. So I decided to run in both the competitive wave and the group wave. Because we made a race team, so I was going to run in both. So I got there. We got there early in the morning. The competitive wave was the first wave, obviously. So nobody had to wait at the obstacle. So you could just go ahead. And obviously, that first wave was the only one that was timed. So that's the one I wanted to be in. You know, I wanted to compete. You know, see how well I could do. Kind of just my nature, and. It was awesome. Like I said, it was great. I haven't done a race like that in a long time. I feel like I wasn't totally prepared. My training was kind of lacking a little bit, but I ended up doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I got 7th overall out of about 120.
Fit-looking competitors, too.
And I was able to get on the podium for my age group. 7th overall, I got 4th in the 30 to 39 age group, but the overall winner was from my age group, so kind of by default, I got 3rd place since, you know, the overall guy got the overall award, and I got on the podium, so that was kind of exciting, you know.
And unexpected, because you weren't expecting it. I was like off with the dog in the other corner of the field, and all of a sudden I heard Nick Birch, and I was like, what? It's just like, that's unexpected, because you didn't think you were going to be, like, placing.
No,
and you were bummed.
No. Yeah, I mean,
you were bummed.
I mean, I missed it. I knew, because I was really close with the front pack. I mean, we weren't separated. The guy who won the whole thing, he was pretty far ahead, but, you know, 2, 3, and 4 were pretty close. And it frustrates me, but obviously I'm going to relish the fact how well I did.
Yes,
with that little training,
did awesome.
little training, but the second to last obstacle was a kind of a monkey bar, or not quite a monkey bar, but like a swing. They had ropes,
well,
and you were like swinging.
The rope swings where you swing from one
very
rope to the other.
Tarzan-esque.
And then there was also an option to do like monkey bars, and I think that was actually like one of the first obstacles I actually saw you doing once you disappeared with the pack, because I couldn't find you.
Yeah, so that was the second to last obstacle, and I, as Shannon mentioned, there was monkey bars. It was like a straight monkey bar, so not quite, you know, hand in front of hand. It would be going, basically, your hands would be parallel.
Sideways.
Yes, and then there was the rope swing, kind of little mini rope swing, like swinging tree to tree for Tarzan-esque. So I decided to do the rope instead, get a good swing going. I knew I could do that. And, of course, I get to the last one. I'm about to dismount, and I slip off it and fall down. I have to go back and do it again. So that cost me at least another 10 seconds, which is frustrating, because then, like, I think that put me back literally from, you know, maybe even possibly first in my age group, you know, not overall, but, you know, but. Regardless, it was a good showing. I'm happy, satisfied with my performance, and I'm really happy that I didn't get hurt, or getting hurt more than I kind of did.
Well, yeah, you did like get an injury. You were over in the little medical tent immediately following the race, which I was just sitting there going, "What the hell?"
I So for you, I know not everybody understands or knows what the obstacles are like in the obstacle race, but there's a lot of up and over obstacles.
Like so where you climb up over something and you have to come down the other side.
Yes, exactly. So like little tiny, you know, I guess I'm simulate little mountain climbs. So either rope climb or like stair climb. Yeah, something like that. So usually on the back side, they have stairs, but not traditional stairs like you just step down. There are stairs that are on basically a 45-degree slope. So you are, and you know, obviously if you, most people, they climb down on backwards the safe way. Well, in the competitive wave, I started doing that, and then I started to notice people that were going in front of me were kind of walking down them, kind of putting their arch right in the corner of it and walking down it. And I noticed that was a lot faster, and I was like, oh, I should probably start doing that. So I was doing that. I got there was a couple obstacles, and, you know, on the down slope, I was walking down the little sloped stairs. And I got to one, and this one had a pretty serious pitch to it. I mean, it was angled pretty close to the ground. So, I mean, they wanted you to walk down this one backwards, but I decided to walk. I tried to walk down forwards. Well, I got to the very last one and I missed it. My foot went inside and I climbed my shin off the 2x4, which really wasn't that bad. But the really scary part was that I was heading like face first towards the ground. I was about to face plant right into the bottom of the obstacle, which was basically, you know, dirt. So right as the last second, you know, I'm heading that way, I just naturally, I want to thank all my wrestling and martial arts instructors for having us warm up by doing forward rolls. I just tucked my head, tucked my chin, and rolled right out of it, and that kind of almost looked like I planned it and got up and kept running. So luckily I kind of averted disaster there, but as I completed the race, you know, I looked down at my shin and I had a pretty nice size golf ball size contusion on my shin and got some ice wrapped around it, which unfortunately led to me having to kind of sit out of the group race, which was at with the ETT clients. We had three guys compete in the group race, and they did great. You know, we took a bunch of pictures. We'll have the pictures up probably all over either, you know, the Facebook page, the Elemental Training Tampa Facebook page, or, you know, Instagram and Twitter, ET Tampa. But overall, like I said, everybody did great. One of my younger clients, probably actually my youngest client, he completed his first, kind of this is his first real mud run obstacle course race. Yeah. So I know he's hoping to kind of train and make the Tough Mudder this year. I don't know after yesterday if he thinks he's going to keep doing it, but everybody...
He seemed pretty positive at the end. I mean, everybody seemed like they were, you know, good and tired, but he was still pretty positive. And I think he'll probably try to keep pushing for it.
Yeah, like I believe that this was way tougher than Tough Mudder.
From obstacle standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah, from a running standpoint, that was something that even some of the other guys who've done both, they also said like it's pretty similar, but there's just less running.
Right.
Than Tough Mudder, which for someone like me, well, I don't like the running part. I would give me obstacles all day. I just don't love the running part.
Right. And we mentioned earlier that, you know, Tough Mudder usually between 12 and 13 miles. And then, you know, this one was 5K, so about 3 miles.
It's nice.
Yeah, the distance was perfect. But really, I mean, you had to work for those obstacles. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I believe one of the reasons why I biffed on the second to last obstacles is because my arms were beat. I mean, they were tired from going up and over things or crawling through holes and a lot of water in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, very happy with the performance. Got on the podium by default, which was great. And, you know, I was not very injured. I've clanged my shins off of worse stuff than a 2x4. So I was used to a contusion on it. People were a little bit freaking out that I had a golf ball coming out of my shin. But I wasn't too worried about it. You know, doing Muay Thai training, you get those pretty frequently. So I wasn't too worried.
Well, I witnessed a much more serious injury actually being made, I guess. They had a lot of these slides where it's basically just like a giant slip and slide with water. And they've had them positioned. There must have been at least four of them throughout the obstacle course. Like, these were actual obstacles. And you'd slide down this, you'd hit a big pool of water at the end, and that would slow you down. And usually, like, during the competitive and, like, early waves of this race, they only let a few people go down, and then they would space the people out so that there wasn't, you know, a risk of taking out who was ever at the bottom. But I think as they got busier, they were just kind of letting people go as they wanted. And this few people group, like probably like three people, went down. And before they'd even cleared the end of this this slide, more like three more females went down afterwards. So the one of the guys who was, he looked like a middle-aged, like tall guy. He was still taking his time walking off the very end of the slide, and this woman came down and just knocked him off his feet. I mean, like, he cartwheeled like feet above his head and landed on what looked like his shoulder or arm and was just flat. I mean, he was out. And I was just staring in horror from across the obstacle course. As, like, you know, the other woman who took him out recovered and kind of went over and was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But then seconds later, we saw the EMTs, like, rushing down there. And the guy came back and he was, like, cradling his arm. Looked like he might have dislocated or broken something. So, I mean, that was rough, man. I mean, it was funny to see it. But then when you actually saw he was hurt, he did not have a good day that day.
Yeah, I saw a couple other people under that the medic tent. So it was legit. There were some obstacles there. If you were not prepared for them, you could definitely hurt yourself. So, but, you know, that's kind of what you sign up for. They make you sign a release for a reason. You know, they're not going to, it's not, you know, not always safe. So, but all in all, I enjoyed it. Maybe we'll go back there next year, or they have multiple events a year. So hopefully, or we'll see. You know, maybe we'll
I would do one else. Of the non-competitive waves.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, I gotta stop saying like I said. I know I'm disappointed that I didn't get to run with the team, but due to my injury, I didn't want to make it any worse.
It was smart. Your leg looked freaky.
Yeah, it was.
No matter what you say.
It looked like there was a tumor growing out of it or something. But We'll do another one eventually. We'll definitely, I can't wait till the next ETT, you know, race team competition. So I'll be in that with the guys. So we got a lot of pictures, and I was cheering those guys. And girls, excuse me. Yes, of course. But other than that, what else did you want to maybe touch on in this episode? I know you kind of brought up some stuff about sleep patterns.
Yeah, so I mean, like, one of the big things, you know, we had a week or so where we were doing all kinds of things for the wedding, the mini moon, totally out of routine. So getting back into the routine once you've vacationed or you've done, you know, several days of not to your normal sleeping patterns, I don't know if anybody else finds this as difficult. I think I might just have like some sleep problem, but I have had such a difficult time. I always do coming back from a trip where I've fallen out of my normal sleeping habits, to get back into my sleeping habits where I'm getting up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and going to bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. That is like really hard for me, specifically the getting up early in the morning. Like I physically feel pain getting up before six right now. Like, it's still a struggle. I still managed to get four workouts in this week, but I had to do one after work because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think with you, once it's going to take time to get back into the routine, because I know it's just sleep in general is tough for you.
Oh, it's so easy getting out of the routine, though. Why is it so hard getting back in the routine?
I think it obviously has to do with outside stress or stressors. Because when we were on our mini moon, we didn't have to worry about, you know, next day we have to go to work. You know, you kind of knew that that wasn't there. Mentally, you knew it wasn't there. So it relaxed you. You didn't have the as much stress associated as you normally do when we're back here. You got to go to work the next day. Since your work is high stress anyways, it just, the hormones that your body produces, we talked about cortisol before, I mean, that's just on a much higher level, and that'll just throw your whole body out of whack.
Yeah.
And I listened to a podcast pretty recently. I think it was it Primal, I think Primal Blueprint podcast. And they were talking about supplements that can help, I think they were specifically your adrenal gland, because they were talking about how your adrenal gland really kind of, you can deplete that by having too much stress.
I actually depleted my adrenal glands when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. I had a hair test analysis done, which is super awesome. If you ever want to get into the endocrine level of your health and fitness, get a hair test done. And yeah, I was already pretty much had depleted the stress in my life or whatever I had experienced had depleted my adrenals before I was even into my mid-20s.
Yeah. So what this person recommended probably would be a good idea for you. They recommended three things. I'm sure there's probably more, but what she recommended was vitamin C, vitamin B, and salt. I mean, she talked about as much as taking a teaspoon of pink salt, Himalayan pink sea salt. And
which
then,
we use.
Yes, which we use for food, or, to spice up food. Well, not spice up. I guess it is spice up food.
Yeah.
You spice up the salt. And just taking a teaspoon of it in the morning and, throwing it down the hatch. Which sounds intense. I mean, I've never done it, but that was her recommendation. And I know that she spoke about books like Salt Your Way to Health, things like that, and talk about the benefits of salt. You know, not the Morton kind of
processed
iodine salt. Yeah. We're talking about the Himalayan pink sea salt, things like that, that have more nutrients and minerals than just the Morton salt. So those supplements like that, I know you take melatonin usually before bed.
To help me go to sleep. Right. Yeah. And then, I just use the chewable tablets from Trader Joe's. So, it's like candy. And I don't take a ridiculous amount. I just take two. But I feel like that does kind of just help regulate me back into getting to sleep. But I also think that reading, which is part of my evening routine, helps me get to sleep better than anything.
Right. And I know we probably need to do a little bit better about maybe cutting the TV off.
Yeah.
A half hour before we go to sleep.
Or before, just not watching TV in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go to sleep.
Right. Things like that when people, because I've heard a lot of people mention, I'm sure you have, talk about the blue light that's emitted either from your iPhone or your iPad, how that can, affect your body and affect your sleep. So just things like that, hopefully we can get back into it. And, you're a few weeks removed from the mini moon, things like that. So hopefully your body will start recognizing and be able to process that. But maybe supplement with vitamin C, which, obviously could be, there's nothing wrong with supplementing with vitamin C.
Yeah.
Could be something that could help. I know you said your adrenal glands are already, depleted, but, maybe you can switch your work. It's tough for you to switch your workouts from, morning to evening.
Yeah, it's nothing. I can't plan on having time. I can make time in the morning. I can't make time in the evening.
Right.
Because, by definition of me trying to get up and get ready for work and get anything done, it means I have to get up early. And
right.
I can't squeeze more hours into the day at the end of the day when my day is unpredictable.
Right. Yeah, we just got to break the cycle and get you back into the normal routine.
Oh, it just takes so long. Yeah. I wish it took it takes you one day to get out of your sleep routine when you go on vacation or something. I wish it took one day to get back into it. Why does it have to take so freaking long?
Your body, I guess, used to being in a rhythm. And once you get out of that rhythm,
it's happily out of the rhythm,
it's
though.
It's hard.
It's
hard.
Fine out of the rhythm.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, because all your stressors are gone. You don't have to worry about the outside stress. You're on, you're relaxing for a reason. Your
Damn
body
it.
Gets used to it. And they're like, hey, what happened to all the relaxing we were doing?
Stupid.
But that's something we're going to work on, and hopefully you can get back into your morning workout routine more regularly.
Yeah, right now I'm doing very short workouts in the morning because I can't get up with enough time to do anything else.
Right, but
you know, do what you can.
Exactly. You're still working out, which is good. Little is better than none.
Yep.
And another thing I think we both kind of touched on or brought up this recently was the it was a New York Times article about, is it New York Times?
New York Times.
Okay. The newspaper article about The Biggest Loser, how some contestants were coming back and saying that, you know, they've gained all the weight back, things like that. I don't, obviously not all of them, but it was a select few that gained all the weight back.
Or not all, but they did not maintain what they achieved on The Biggest Loser.
Right. I've never watched the show, maybe a couple clips here and there, but really haven't watched the show. But I mean, from the premise of what I understand, obviously they take morbidly obese people.
Yep.
And then they're, you know, I wouldn't say it's a game show, but, you know, their goal...
Well, it's a competition.
A competition show, yes.
For sure.
So they put them through, you know... A lot of, I think mostly exercise and probably, I'm sure they affect their nutrition.
But the nutrition side.
What I've heard about the nutrition is that they put them at a calorie deficient
diet.
So they try to expend more calories than they ingest to lose the weight.
Yep.
Which I think, obviously, we've touched on that before. It's good. I think in the short term, it's good. Well, not good, but it can work to help you lose weight in the short term.
Right, but as like a plan to lose like 100+ pounds, is that the best way to lose? And I think that's what this article was touching on, was that question. Like, is The Biggest Loser that effective for long-term weight loss and keeping off the weight? Because one of the stats that I read, and I don't remember it perfectly, but it was something like... 80% of the weight that's lost is gained back, or maybe it was something about like how a person who has had that much weight on them previously, their body basically just refuses to give up that weight in the long run. Like it's 80% of it is going to come back no matter if they match their calories to, you know, a person, you know, like Nick's size, who's, you know, very svelte. Like, their bodies are going to hold on to the calories differently. And if you've been extremely overweight, then your body's going to do that. It's not in your options to just match calorie for calorie and expect that you're going to have the same results because your body is different.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Your body gets used to being morbidly obese, essentially. Your body requires the amount of calories you're ingesting to kind of preserve that, because your body thinks that's the norm now, you know. And then obviously you go into essentially, I don't want to call a calorie deficient diet a starvation diet, but if you think about it, it's kind of is that way. So that's why the calorie in, calorie out is, I mean, it's been proven, there's books, and we've talked about it before, but you can't stay in a starvation diet in perpetuity.
Yeah.
Your body will not allow it. It'll go back, you know, it'll try to go back to that certain, or it will just hold on to certain parts of fat because they think, hey, we're starving right now, so I have to preserve this fat. That's why the type of food, the type of calories you ingest is way more important than how many calories you ingest.
In the long run,
yes. Yep. On long-term basis, yes. Yep. Like I said, short-term, if you have 2 or 3 months, you want to lose 20 or 30 pounds, calorie in, calorie out might be the way to go fast, you know, in a short-term basis. But if you want to be, you know, if your ultimate goal is just to be healthy and maintain a certain weight, a healthy weight, then really the quality of your calories is more important than your quantity of the calories.
Yeah.
And I just listened to a podcast with Rob Wolf, who I think the book, he was kind of, I don't know if he's kind of like the godfather of the paleo movement, but mm-hmm. His book was The Paleo Solution. And he had Dr. Jason Fung on, who wrote The Obesity Code, who kind of, it gives a lot of scientific background to why people, you know, why obesity is such an epidemic it is now. why it is such the epidemic that it is now. He really talks about the insulin response of certain food and how that affects, why that has much more effect on people than calories.
Right.
A certain amount of calories, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, he had a quote in that podcast, and I tweeted it out because I thought it was awesome. He goes, "Your body doesn't give two shits about calories." And, you know, pardon my French. But he, when you think about it, and I told you, kind of, I made this comparison, you can have one food that is, you know, devoid of calories and another food that's rich in calories. I misspoke. You can have one food that is devoid of nutrients and another food that is, you know, rich with nutrients, and they have the same amount of calories. Like a can of Coke and then a piece of, or like a grass-fed burger can have the same amount of calories, but we obviously know, nutritional-wise, the burger is better than the can of Coke.
Yeah, and I think that, like, our culture has slowly started to adopt this realization as truth, because you've seen so many things, like, was it back in, like, the 90s or, like, the 80s or something? Everything was non-fat. It was diet, it was non-fat, it was, you know, it was all about the fat. It was terrible and you had to avoid it at all costs. Like butter, I swear, I had like friends who were shocked that my house used real butter. But my mother, who was, you know, obviously a very much more educated person when it came to nutrition and health because that was her profession, she said, "No way, like we're not gonna have a bunch of chemicals and, you know, devoid foods, we're going to use real butter. There's a lot more good things in there." That basic statement now I think applies to a lot more things because, well, now what we're seeing is sugar-free. Sugar-free is the new fat-free.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think like people get scared of sugar the same way they used to get scared of fat, but it's the same premise. Like it's the fake, you know, empty calories. It's the same nutrient deficient foods. That's what you should be staying clear of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eating more whole foods, things that are as natural, like these things are created with a recipe that balances out, you know, and that's the only way that I really kind of think of it, is they naturally grew in a sort of balanced way. Humans have gone in, pardon my French, in fucked it all up by processing it. You can bleep that out if you want. But that's
going to be the explicit episode.
But that's basically what's happened with like processed foods and all these like diet type foods, and that has been where a bulk of obesity issues started happening.
Right. No, there are graphs I can see, and I'm not going to quote any specifically, but you can kind of see where the prevalence of processed foods becoming more mainstream in, you know, our food system in the United States matches up pretty much with the trend of obesity in the United States.
It's not something our bodies are created to deal with, and our body's reaction to dealing with it was to hold on to weight.
Right.
And I think no matter, I mean, every female out there has always hit that what, like, they plateau in their weight loss efforts. And you say, well, why? I'm, you know, I have all this diet food in my house, or I'm only eating this many calories. Why am I plateauing?
Yeah.
It's because you're probably still eating crap, and you know, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, and we've talked about that too, and something we mentioned earlier about the sleep thing. You get stressed because you're not losing that weight, and then becomes a negative feedback loop, and that makes you keep more weight because your body's stressed.
Yeah.
So we love talking about, you know, the nutrition, because it feels like people, I think slowly but surely, are becoming more educated on it.
Yes.
You know, I think people are becoming less scared of fat, which is good. You know, we need fat. We're becoming more aware, and I think even, I believe the new nutrition guidelines that came up from the FDA, I believe, well, you know, reduce the amount of sugar you intake. which, you know, I think people are starting to realize the amount of sugar is really kind of, you know, spiking that insulin response, which we talked about could be the real cause of obesity, which, or what I believe and a lot of doctors believe. But we, fitness, nutrition, they're connected, and that's what we love talking about on this podcast. And we hope you guys love it too. We are going to be getting on iTunes soon. I know I almost say that every week, but now I know the proper way to do it, so it should be coming any day now. I got a lot of stuff coming up. I'm getting recertified and doing my recertification from NASM for the personal training, getting a fitness nutrition specialization through NASM, and getting my CPR recertified also. So we got a lot of stuff coming up, and obviously we're going to be doing personal training, maybe another race. Hopefully I can get to a jiu-jitsu tournament next couple months. And of course, Shannon and I are going to be doing podcasts on a weekly basis. Or Tyler, too. He's still in the mix. Hopefully I get to him this week. That's the real goal. I gotta see. He's a busy man. What can I say? But we guys hope you enjoy the podcast. And if you do, let us know. Or let us know how we can make it better or what you guys like to hear. We love your comments. And I think that's it for this week. You got anything else, babe?
I would say if anybody has any like health-related just queries, issues, things they've been wondering about, just tweet them, message them, send them on. If we don't have the answers, you're good at researching and getting a variety of data to inform people. So
Yeah, that's probably my most redeeming quality of the 7 years I went for a science background degree is researching. So I can do my best, and like I said, please interact, and we appreciate you guys listening. And this has been another episode of the ETT Rap Show, and we'll check you next time. Bye.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.